Hey, Joy, good to be with you today. If you did not come last night, shame on you. We had a good time without you. But I've been doing this for 44 years. I know I don't look that old, do I? Therefore, I studied when I was two. And I've been going all over the country. I have spoken literally in every state of the United States. And I've been in over 7,600 churches. And that's a big deal. But I love coming to Connecticut. Now I'm from Tennessee. I'm a hillbilly and a redneck. But I love coming to Connecticut. That's a little tough for me to say. So I need your help. I love to come through. I love to come through. In fact, do you know, it's my favorite state to come to? Huh? Now, when I go to Georgia, I say Georgia, my favorite state. I'm all there to all people. I have literally learned whatever state I'm in, I'm content. How many of you know by now, I have a speech impediment. I forgot I'm in Connecticut. Everybody in Connecticut has a speech impediment. That's why I love coming up. Because 2 weeks everybody have a speech impediment. Number two, everybody look funny too. If you don't know me by now, I believe in having a good time. The thing coming to steal and kill and destroy the enemy, the devil, don't want us to enjoy life. The devil wants us not to have a good time in church. The devil wants us to look like an old sourpuss. And many of you are obeying him. He told me to tell you that. But I love you. I thank you, Brother Leon, for coming back the morning worship. I asked them to do that, to give me more time. And what I'm doing now, I'm trying to get the people who did not come last night to understand me a little better. And it all got to do with the timing. I've been to speech therapy for 18 years, 5 days a week. And I conquer many sounds. But there are some sounds that I have not conquered. Like the letter R sound, the R sound. I'd say my R's like W's. You know, my name is David.
Green.
David.
Green.
But I say David Wing. W-I-N-G. There are many people in the womb. W-O-O-M. That became a problem for me when I I told the people to turn their Bible to the book of Romans. And a man came up to me in the lobby and said, me a Bible. He said, David, can you find me the book of W-O-M-A-N-S? I took the Bible and I said, it's legal if you use the Bible. I'm still looking for that scripture in the Bible. But people, I go all over the country. I do about 130 dates a year. And I'm having the time of my life. I love doing what I love. Because see, people, we take so much for granted, don't we? One day we're going to look back and see how many times in our lives that we saw have the time of our life, but we don't, because we did not count the many blessings and name them one by one. And I guarantee you, if you do that, name them one by one, it will blow your ever-loving mind what the Lord has done. I'm not supposed to live past the age of 30. 80% of cerebral palsy die before they reach the age of 30. I'm 63. I'm still kicking. It's not over until God says it's over. And what I'm trying to do is not say if life throw you a curveball. I'm saying when life throw you a curveball. Yeah, go for the fence. And many of us get discouraged in our life and we go to the dugout or we go to the shower, but step up to the plate. God has given us unbelievable ability to make an impact in the world. The toughest thing for me to do is to speak. If you knew me when I was younger, you'd say, there's no way that boy can make it. But see, if God be for me, who can be against me? And I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. And what I'm saying to you, God took my greatest liability and money into my greatest asset. How many of you have pain today on the inside? But we try to do away with the pain. We try to ignore the pain. But let me tell you, God wants to use your pain. God wants to use your suffering, because we go through stuff because somebody down the road is going to come by and we have the opportunity to help them and say, oh, I think I've been what you have, and therefore, that's what I have learned in my journey. Born dead for 18 minutes. Unbelievable. I was there. I was laying on my table. No body. A brand new baby boy, stillborn, blue baby. And many people come up to me and because I tell them when I was born, I was born dead, and because my mama was dying and fighting for life on the delivery table, they thought it would be better to save the mama than the baby. The baby already dead. Forget about the baby, but let's save the mama. And therefore they put my body on my table against the wall, and many people say, David, why did they do that? I always tell them, I was too young to remember. And I was dead too. But I know one day, I got off to a dead start in life. And thank God, it's not over until God says, and God always has another plan. There are so many options on the table for God to use. And I want you to turn your Bible to the book of John, the book of John, chapter 9. I love the scripture. And if we are going to title the message today, it will be something like this. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, I want to go a little deeper with that. May I? Why do bad things happen to God's people? And we will find a story in the Bible, John chapter 9, verse 1. The disciples came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, we don't understand why this man was born blind. Did he sin, or did mama and daddy say, why was this man born blind? Oh, how many of us have said over and over in our life, if God loved me, why? What did I sin? Did I lose a loved one because I have been bad? And the disciples vocalized what Jesus said. In John chapter 9, they said, why was he born blind? We don't understand why this man belong blind. Did he sin, or his mom and daddy sin? And Jesus said in verse 4, chapter 9, the man was born blind, so that God's glory can show up in his life. Wow. Why is the man blind from birth? Jesus said the man blind, the man cannot see, because my glory will be shown in a powerful way through a blind man. That's good stuff. I'm from the Bible Belt. And if I preach like that in the Bible Belt, they'd be shouting. But I understand you are from Connecticut. Every one of us have asked the question, why? Why did Why did I lose a loved one? Why does the judge report seem so bad? Why does a 5-year-old girl, little girl who was a joy in somebody's life, why did God take the little girl? I don't know how you are. I don't know how old you are. I don't know how young you are. But the first time I asked the question, why do I have sweet poverty? I was in the fourth grade. I was 9 years old. And the teacher gave us a math assignment and said, now, class, when you get through with your math class, math test, math assignment, you can go outside and play, and you can have a little longer to play on the playground. And you know what the 9-year-old boys and God did? They say, oh boy, we're going to get through with the mindset and we're going to get to go out and play. And one by one, the boys and God were leaving the room, and all of a sudden, the bell rang for everybody to come back in the room, and nobody in the room but two people, me and the teacher. I was not finished with my math assignment. I was, because I'm pretty well smart, I'm brilliant, my mind is unbelievable. I think in numbers, but it takes me a long time to write down my answer. And therefore, I was not through, not because I did not know it, I was not through because I had something everybody else don't have. And I started crying. And I was so upset. I put my head on my hand and I was sobbing like a baby. And the teacher, I remember this, the teacher came up and put her arm around me and said, David, it's okay. David, it's okay. David, it's okay. I remember looking up at the teacher at 9 years old. I said, teacher, it's not okay. It's not okay. It might be okay for you, but it's not. Why can't I go out and play on the playground? Why do I have to be punished for something? It's not my fault. You've been there? Sure you have. You've been at the man assignment, haven't you? But thank God, they called my mama, and my mama came and picked me up. And I remember sitting in the car with my mama driving, and I looked up and tears rolling down my face. 9 years old, I said, Mama, why? Why do I have cerebral palsy? Mama, I did not know it until today. Mama, you've done a good job by keeping it from me. Because you've been my cheerleader from day one. But today, the reality set in. Today, I know I'm different, but why, Mama? And my mama looked at me and she said, Dave, my little baby boy, it's okay. But when my mama say it's okay, it's okay. My mama had 8 kids, 4 boys, 4 girls. awful boy, all crippled. I'm the baby. I'm the baby of the family. I tell my siblings, I'm the baby, because they finally got what the warning when I came along. But I was born with cerebral palsy, and mama been my girl, mama been my children all my life, until the age of 14. My daddy died when I was 11. My mama got sick. And you're going to find the story in the playbook of life. That's what's wrong with the playbook of life. There are many stories being left out. And mama was one, and you were one. And my mama got sick when I was 14 years old. And I saw my mama daily go down to another seat, went from 185 pounds to 57 pounds. And they said, mama gonna die. I said, no, mama not gonna die. You don't have a clue. It's going to be okay. But October 16th, 1968, my mama drew a last breath. And now my 14-year-old teenager, I have a big question on my heart. God, why? God, you know my mama take care of me. You know my mama give me what I wanted. You know my mama is my survivor. But God, why? What did I do to deserve this? God, I'm lonely. God, I'm dying. Hey, God, don't you kill? God, you gave me cerebral palsy. You took away my daddy. Now you take it over my mama. Life don't make sense, God. And God, I'm taking out. I attempted suicide about every other day for 2 years, because I had an older sister that took me in, 14 years older than me, and every other day she molested me. Therefore, the why, God, why am I going through pain? It's okay to ask why. But don't stay there. Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have God forsaken me? Do you remember that? Huh? And I woke up this morning at 5:30 a.m. And a revelation came to me. Once again, I was thinking and I was praying about the family of Adia and the 5-year-old girl. And I was thinking, God, you had to go through those emotions. You gave up your baby boy. And your baby boy, and my God, why have thou forsaken me? It's okay to ask why, but don't stay on the cross. Get to the empty tomb quick. If you don't get to the empty tomb, it will kill you. I have colitis, a bowel disease. Everything I eat go out to me. My daughter and Mayim Clint told me, you grieve so much when you were 14 years old, you will have courage until the day you die. But the day I spoke on me, And the doctor said, "It's unbelievable. I know you got colitis, but today your colon looks like a brand new baby colon." I said, "God, thank you for getting me to the institute." And let me just say real quick, well, not quick, that's not true. I don't say anything quick. They gave me 35 minutes today. I can't even say my name in 35 minutes. Duh. But people, if you don't get past the why, it will kill you. It will eat your lunch. Because when we are questioning why, we are, number one, we are questioning God's authority. I got 4 children. And mom and dad, let me ask you, what is the one word that come out of your son and go to the mouth? That every time they say that one word, it drives you crazy. You are climbing the wall. And there's some bells going off in you, and they are saying, "Kill, kill, kill." What is the one word? Huh? What is the one word, Mom and Dad? Do you ever wonder why? That drive you up a wall? Because they are questioning your authority. Duh. We don't like our authority to be questioned. I had, and Mama, you don't say why. Because if you do, you get a backhand in your face. But Mom and Dad, we don't like saying why, but because they are crazy, your authority, they can say no much more than why. And you won't deal with the why. Because if they ever say no, you can kill, kill, kill. It's legal. But don't say why. God, don't question God's authority. Instead, don't say why, but say what. God, how can I glorify you with a body of weakness, with a body of sweetness? How can I glorify you in the death of my mom, in the death of my dad? How can I glorify you having the story of molestation for 2 years? How can I glorify you? What can I become for you because of this happened to me? Number one, every time you say why, you are questioning God's authority. Number two, every time you say why, you are building up bitterness in your life. You don't deal with it. Whatever happened to you, you pick up the wall and to be under the word. And over time, you are nothing but taking time bomb. And people, after being in 7,600, I believe with all my heart, there are so many people that come to church every Sunday. They are taking time bomb because they have dealt with the stuff under the world. And by dealing with the stuff, it was saying, God, I don't understand, but God, I trust you. Thank God, when you cannot trace the hand of God in your life, you can always trust God's heart. And don't become a bigger person at what can I become because of the situation. I've been married for 35 years. I told them last night all about that. It was good. Don't you wish you would be ill last night? That's what you get. But not showing up, you're going to be left in the cold. But I've been traveling for 44 years, and therefore all of my memory life, I've been on the road. And one day, I got home, my wife and two daughters picked me up from the airport, and on the way home, I said, baby, Dad, normally I don't tell you to do supper at a church time, but baby doll, I'm tired, and baby doll, let's go home and eat quick, put the girls to bed, because I'm tired and I want to go to bed. No problem. Yeah, and she did that. We put the girls in bed. I go in bed, my wife go in bed. I was tired. The lamp was on my side of the bed, on my dining table. Are you with me? And I turned up the lamp, and I closed my eyes, and I heard a strange noise in my ear. But I heard a familiar noise. And it went something like this. And the bed got shaking. And I turned on the light, I looked at my wife, and she was crying like a baby. I mean, she was bawling, she was crawling. I said, I asked her the normal question, baby, why are you crying? She gave me the typical woman answer. I don't know. Can I get a witness, man? And I said, woman, why are you crying? Did I offend you to make the supper early? Why are you crying? I don't know what did I do, nothing. What did your mama do? Nothing. I said, why are you crying? I don't know. I said, get up, go to the kitchen. And I was 2 steps behind her. It took me 2 hours to pick a brain. God didn't call me to be a psychologist. I'm a dumb old preacher. Dumb. And finally, 2 hours went by, and I finally said, baby, do you know why you are crying? And she said, no. I said, I tell you why. You have bitterness in your life. It began your life for 19 years. Your daddy died when you were 3. Your mama got remembered to a man, different man when you were 6. And for 19 years, you were asking, why do I have a stepdaddy that don't love me?